We were singing some very important thoughts here. Since Christ and we are one, I trust you, dear young people, are acquainted with this, how we've become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, having believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Paul tells us by one Spirit that we're all baptized into one body. When the Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost, it united the 120 in the upper room into one body and united them to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven to form one new man. And the apostle takes that up, the one new man. And so we have the figure of a man, a figure of Christ and the church. But since we're united to the Lord Jesus Christ, what room for doubt or fear? If I'm united to Him, how can I be lost? No, I'm united to Him. How wonderful to think of that. And He sits upon the Father's throne, and we're in Him there. That's what we were reading about in Ephesians, seated in the heavenlies in Christ. That's our place up there. Our citizenship is in heaven. That's where we belong. We're just strangers down here on the earth. The Spirit doth unite our souls to Him, our head, and forms us to His image bright, while in His steps we tread. Are you trying to form yourself into a good Christian? No, it's by the power of the Spirit of God that we're formed to His image. While the Spirit of God is occupying us with the Lord Jesus Christ, while the Spirit of God is pointing us to the Word, and we get into that sweet fellowship with the Lord, and the Word of God is working in our hearts, we're formed to His image. It's a work of God. It's a work of the Spirit of God. But it speaks of treading in His steps. I would connect that with walking in the Spirit. And what is walking in the Spirit? It's being occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit is always pointing to Christ. Always pointing to Christ. Is it the matter of being saved? The Holy Spirit points you to the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Is it a matter of being gathered? The Holy Spirit points you to the Lord Jesus Christ as the center of gathering. Is it a matter of getting strength for your pathway? The Holy Spirit points you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You need wisdom? By the Spirit of God, you're pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the sum of wisdom. And wisdom is found in His Word. And principles are found there to give us direction for our pathway, for our life here. Is it a matter of young people seeking companions? You have a definite word about that, to not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. The Spirit of God will take that word and point it out to you and force it into your heart to make you realize the importance of it. Because God loves you. The Lord Jesus Christ loves you, and He doesn't want you to make shipwreck. And there are many wrecks along the road. Many wrecks along the road because there hasn't been a giving heed to this important principle set forth in the Word of God. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, or in business, or in any way where you have a common purpose. How can you have a common purpose with an unbeliever? And what is it that keeps us till we get home? Grace. It is free grace. Grace. By grace are ye saved. By grace we're kept. And it's going to be grace at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace all the way home. The Lord said, without me ye can do nothing. But Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And oh, how we need the Lord, dear young people. Not simply as a Savior. We're so thankful for Him that He's our Savior. But we need Him every day. As a friend by our side, and He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You may get away from Him, but He'll never leave you. Oh, when I think about that, it touches my heart. If I get careless, He's still with me. He never leaves me. He may have to deal severely with me. He may have to chastise me to bring me back to Himself, not to be saved over again, but to be brought to the place where I own my failure, my sin, my straying, confess, be forgiven, and go on again for Him. Well, I'd like to have us turn together to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, I don't suppose we'll have time to touch on every little point here in this chapter, and that's not what I purpose to do, but I trust that we might get at least one or two, maybe three things to help us. I was a young person one time, and I know what young people need. I needed the very same things that you need right now. Well, it might have been 50 years ago, but I still need them. Sometimes maybe the young folks look at the older ones and think, oh, they've reached it now. They've got it made. I haven't got it made. I have to look to the Lord every day. I must look to Him. If I don't look to Him, at the beginning of the day, what's going to happen during the day? Well, there'll be confusion. You'll be frayed at the edges. And it just seems like being in a haze. I think you know what I'm talking about. We need the Lord all the time. And any time I get to the place where I feel I can go on independently of the Lord, watch out. There's going to be a fall. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Oh, how we need Him. So here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, we're reading about some that came to David. Now, I presume that these who came to David, they knew all about what David had done that day when he went out to fight with Goliath. And I suppose they were young men just like David was. David was spoken of as a stripling. And they saw their friend David go down there to meet Goliath. Not in his own strength, not with armor. He went in the name of the Lord. That meant he went with the power of the Lord. He went with the authority of the Lord. He went with the guidance of the Lord. And he went down into that valley and he slew Goliath. A great victory was wrought that day. And surely these Israelites could not forget that. But then they began to sing, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul got jealous. And he looked at David with an evil eye. And several times tried to smite him with a spear. But God's hand was upon David, protecting David. David had to go into hiding. David was rejected. And in that way, he speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I like to think about David in this connection. Because David is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, David can't be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in every detail of his life. Anytime you take a person and use him as an illustration or a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, you always recognize that there are failures there. And there was no failure in the Lord Jesus Christ, no sin in him. But there are certain ones that certainly are set before us as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And David is one of them. So David is in rejection. He's out in the hold, really a stronghold, because any place that David was a stronghold. Those people of Israel found out that the Lord was with David. And wherever David was a stronghold, even though it was out in the cave of Adullam, or even though it was in this hole, a stronghold. It was a stronghold because David was there, and the Lord was with David. So it says here in verse 1, "Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul, the son of Kish." There were those that came to David, even though he was rejected by Saul and all of Saul's followers, still they came to David. They recognized something in David. I trust that we recognize something in the Lord Jesus Christ today. He is the rejected one. And we're told in Hebrews 13 to go forth unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. The Lord Jesus Christ is still in reproach. He's still rejected. Most of the world today is rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord still has a little company that wants to go forth unto him bearing his reproach. Oh, there are many things we can be reproached for ourselves. But to bear his reproach and to be reproached because we're identified with him. Are you afraid of it? It's a privilege. It's a privilege. It needs grace. We need the grace of the Lord to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ in this way, outside the camp, bearing his reproach. Oh, there are many things in the camp that appeal to the flesh. I've been there. But when I began to see other things, see the Lord as the center of gathering, the head of the church, the truth of the one body, the camp didn't have the appeal to me anymore. I had to leave it. And the Lord had to take me way over to Africa, into the Congo called Zaire now, and for 10 years, keep me there, translating scripture into the language of the tribe into which we went. We had to learn their language and then translate scripture into it. And to me, it was like the backside of a desert experience for me to be there alone with God, translating the word and really digging in it. And I found a lot of things there that I had never been taught in any Bible school, that I had never seen. There it was. And I saw the Lord Jesus Christ as the center of gathering. I saw that in Christendom, the Lord Jesus Christ was being displaced by men. And even the Spirit of God was being displaced by men in the place they were taken. In a way, it made me sad to think of this. And yet it was a joy to me to find this. And the reverend that I was wearing at that time had to be dropped. Because I saw that only the Lord is holy and reverend. It had to go. A lot of other things had to go. But it wasn't that I was trying to give up something. But the Lord was showing me something far better. And the other had to go. You know, dear young people, that's a principle with us. These things were happening to me when I was the age that many of you are here, in my 20s. And this is a principle. The Lord shows you that He's everything. And He becomes dear to your heart. And you want to give Him the place that really belongs to Him according to Scripture. And there are some things that have to go. They just drop off. You're not trying to get rid of them. No. You may be exercised about them. But as you get enamored with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to please Him, and you see the place that God has given Him in the Word and in the assembly, and in fact, in the world, because He's going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when you begin to see that, you say, well, how can I go on with this? Something else pricks your conscience. And it's got to go. The only way of deliverance is, as we read in Romans 7, the Apostle Paul writes, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he bursts out by saying, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. There's where the deliverance is. In seeing Him and finding our all in all in Him, that He is enough to fill and satisfy the soul. Are you satisfied with Jesus? Are you really satisfied with Jesus? Or are there other longings in your heart? You're longing for this, you're longing for that. Oh, the Apostle Paul, as our brother brought out yesterday, he got to that place where he not only in the beginning had counted all things lost, but kept on because the Lord was still precious to him. What a principle that is in our lives. To have the Lord and find all our sufficiency in Him. When Abraham gave Isaac, his son Isaac, the place that belonged to Isaac in his home, Ishmael had to go. Oh, for a while, Abraham said, talking to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. But Ishmael speaks of the flesh and the things of the flesh and the things that the flesh desires. But when he got to that point in his exercise of making a feast for Isaac, to be recognized as the heir, Ishmael had to go. When we get to that place in our lives where we see that the foremost, topmost place in our hearts and lives belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, the things of Ishmael have to go. So here were these men. Many of them coming to David. And there were even some of Saul's brethren, it says in verse 2. Saul's brethren of Benjamin. You'd think they'd be true to Saul. Ah, they'd gotten a vision of something. Their hearts were attracted to David. And they even had to leave Saul. They even had to leave Saul. And they had to take their stand. Going down to verse 8. And of the Gadites, they separated themselves unto David, into the hold, to the wilderness, men of might and men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. Well, that was some from another tribe that came. And we might notice that they separated themselves unto David. Now, separation is not only a negative thing, it has a positive side to it. And if separation is only negative, it's not going to last. You have to have the positive side to it. They were separated unto David. You might have some kind of food set before you that you don't relish very much. But you don't have anything else to eat but that, so you eat it. But as soon as something better is set before you, you eat that, and you forget all about the other. Well, that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. When He comes before us, and we're separated unto Him, there are things that we separate from. We separate to and from. It's like the Thessalonians. They turn to God from idols. The positive comes first. Then the negative follows. And sometimes, dear young people, we try to do the negative first. And we have an awful time. I can't give up this. I can't give up that. Get the positive before you. Be separated unto the Lord Himself, and you'll be able to give up those other things. Simple principle, isn't it? We forget it so often. And I think we have an enemy of our souls that works to try to get us to forget it. We even forget that we need to pray every day. We forget that we need to read the Word every day. Those things we forget. I know what I'm talking about, and you know too. So easy to forget. And then you get so busy that you don't have time for it. When we came back from Africa, my wife and I, we of course had given up the system that we were connected with. We'd given up the missionary organization. And we just wanted to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and trying to find those gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the Lord was at work. And we thank Him for that. There had been an experience, perhaps I should say something about that, over in Africa. I think many of you know that we have twin daughters. And when we were expecting them, of course, the Lord was dealing with us very definitely about the truth being gathered, seeing the Lord as the center of gathering. And then my wife became ill about 2 weeks before the delivery of these daughters. And I didn't think she'd pull through. I knew it was time. There was a lady on the station with us to help in the matter. She had made preparations for the delivery, fixing different things that were necessary. But it came ahead of time. We weren't really ready for it. But that night, I lit the fire in the old wood stove, put the tea kettle on to heat some water. And while I was standing there by the stove, I said, "Lord, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. Thou dost want me to see no man save thee only." I said, "All right, Lord. I'm willing to have you take my wife. I'm willing to have you take those babies. I'm willing to have you take the other two children that we had. I'm willing for you to take everything away from me. If I'm left here to wear only leaves in the forest, it's all right. As long as I have thee." Now that wasn't anything that came from myself. It was the Lord putting the pressure on me. Maybe you know something about that, dear young people. The Lord putting pressure on you. To see no man save Him alone. And the Lord knew I needed that more than anything else. To see only Him. And that's what all of us need. To see only Jesus. Separated unto Him. And then you let other things go. They're gone. It's like Abraham. What an exercise he went through when God asked him to sacrifice his son Isaac. But he gave up Isaac. By faith he gave up Isaac. He laid him on the altar. He got him back again. The Lord was merciful to me. I got everything back again. Do you find it hard to give up things? Oh yes, it's hard to give up. But the Lord works with us to put Himself before us that we might see Him that he is the only one that counts. He's the only one that has value. And everything fades into significance. But then the Lord's good to us and gives us something back. How gracious, how merciful, how good of the Lord to do that. Well, it tells us other characteristics of these men of Gad. But we go on down a little further in the chapter. And here are some that want to come. The children of Benjamin, verse 16. I might mention that those twin girls were born and the Lord took care of everything. Isn't it wonderful? There came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. Benjamin and Judah. Well, David wanted to be sure about them. David wanted to be sure about them. So he says, it says here, David went out to meet them when they came. He says, if ye become peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye become to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers look thereon, rebuke it. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was the chief of the captain, and he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thou son of Jesse. Peace, peace be to thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. You see how careful David was? Well, the Lord today is careful too in connection with those that come and want to be identified with him. Now, many of you have taken your place at the Lord's table. You have come to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, to own him as your Lord, to remember him, and to bow before him and take your place at the Lord's table. Perhaps you wondered why your brethren were so careful. Well, I believe the principle is here, right here. David was careful. He had to have some assurance that everything was all right. And when he saw that it was all right, and how they expressed themselves, they said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, and we're for thee, he received them. If you're really for the Lord, if you really want to give the Lord Jesus Christ a place that belongs to him, you want to honor him, Samuel at one time said, them that honor me, I will honor. Well, these that came here, they had to show that they were honoring David. Then they were honored. You must honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Honor him, and he will honor you by giving you the privilege of being at his table, sitting down to remember him. Oh, what a precious time we had this morning. Sitting at his table, remembering him. We go further down the chapter, and we notice in verse 22, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him until it was a great host, like the host of God. A great host. Why is it called a host? Well, because they were men of war. And we're in a battle today. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 6. And we're exhorted to put on the whole armor of God that we might be able to stand in the evil day. Are we expected to stand for the Lord today? Of course we are. The Lord expects us to stand for him and to fight the Lord's battles. But we don't fight in our own strength. These men that came to David, they were encouraged. They were energized, as it were, by being in the presence of David. We're in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're encouraged to take a stand for him. Because Although Israel's enemies were fleshly enemies, our enemies are spiritual enemies, spiritual wickedness in high places. And there's only one way we can stand against that, those enemies, and that's in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. James tells us, submit yourselves to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submission to God comes first. Then we can, in the name of the Lord, resist Satan. But we can never do it in our own strength. We're no match for him because he's a powerful being. But the Lord Jesus Christ has gotten the victory over Satan. He's taken his power away from him, and he can't have any power over us as long as we're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is our strength. He is our strength. Well, we want to go on here because there's some other important things that we want to look at. We go down to verse 32. And the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. The heads of them were 200, and all our brethren were at their commandment. They came. They had understanding of the times. Well, what was the particular understanding that they needed to have at this time? It was in connection with making David king. Because in verse 31 it says about some that came to make David king. And these had understanding about this. It was time to make David king. It was time for him to be king over all Israel. Do we have understanding of the times today? What does this mean for us? This is the day in which we need to give the Lord Jesus Christ the place that belongs to him. All Christendom has been failing in this. We ourselves have failed. But this is the day to give the Lord Jesus Christ the place that is his. He is worthy, as we were saying and singing this morning. They knew what Israel ought to do. Do we know what to do? To give the Lord Jesus Christ the first place in our lives and to recognize him as having the first place in the assembly, and he is the one to whom we should look in everything. Oh, we must not forget that. Looking often to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You have problems in different areas, in school, at business, work, and wherever you might be, even in the kitchen, at home. You have problems. In everything, we're to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to have understanding of the times that we might know what to do and not stand around frustrated and confused and wonder what to do. We need to get down on our knees, talk to the Lord about it, and own to him our dependence upon him, that we need him in the assembly meetings, in the brothers' meetings, at home. We need to be looking to him. We need understanding what to do in this day. Now it says in verse 33 that there were those of Zebulun, such as went forth to battle, expert in war, with all instruments of war, 50,000, which could keep rank. They were not of double heart. They were not of double heart. The scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 was read to us, and we might look at it again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, is very exercised about their state of soul. And really concerned about them. 2 Corinthians 11, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. It might seem folly to the Corinthians to write these kind of things, but he says, for I'm jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I've espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I don't want you to be of double heart, he says, but I fear lest by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Simplicity that is in Christ. Single-hearted loyalty to Christ. A single eye for Christ. A single heart for Christ. Not a double heart. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, James tells us. Single mind, single heart, single eye. This is what we need to be exercised about. And this is how they would be able to keep rank. What's meant by keeping rank? Keeping in step. You know how soldiers march? They all march in rank. And in step, one not ahead of the other, in a straight line. There was this woman that had a son who was in the army. And the army was on review one day, so she went out to see them marching down the street or wherever they were going. And she got her eye on her son. And her son was out of step. But all she could see was, why, everybody's out of step but my son. Is that the way we feel sometimes? Everybody's out of step but me. We need to reflect on that. And how are we going to keep in step? How are we going to keep in rank? How are we going to go on together? With our eye upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the uniting bond of peace. Who's the center of that unity? The Lord Jesus Christ. And if we don't have our eye on Him, we're going to go astray. Oh, how we need to learn this simple lesson of keeping our eye on Him. And this has to be a daily exercise. It's not a once-for-all exercise, oh no. Daily. We have to be exercised about this, not having a double heart, but a single heart, just looking off unto Jesus. Now, notice further down that this is brought out again. In verse 38, he's speaking about somebody else that could keep rank. They came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. What's a perfect heart? A perfect heart is a heart that gives the Lord Jesus Christ the place that belongs to Him. That exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. Perfect heart. Because this is what they were doing. They came with a perfect heart to make David king. Making David king, what does that speak of? Well, it speaks of owning his authority. Owning the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, because if they made David king, they were acknowledging that he was the power over them, the authority over them, and they bowed to him. And I feel, dear young people, others as well, that if when anyone comes to take his place at the Lord's table, to remember the Lord, and to take the position as being a member of the body of Christ, that he should come with this sense, the Lord is in the midst. The authority of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. And I am now coming to that place where I must bow to him. Have we had a sense of that in our soul? I was in a place where that authority was not acknowledged. When I was with those that are called open or independent brethren. And I was with them for a while, thinking I had found the gathered saints. But then I saw some of these things going on, and I became concerned. And when I was speaking in a certain one of these assemblies and ministering on the truth that the Lord had already showed me, they said to me, "We see that you're giving us the Word of God, but we're not practicing that." I said, "What are you talking about? You're not practicing that." Well, they said, "We'll tell you what's happening here. We know that there was a man down here in another of our assemblies that was put away. And he comes up here. He used to come up here regularly. He still comes up here and breaks bread with us and ministers to us." I said, "Brethren, how can you do that? If in the name of the Lord, by the power and authority of the Lord, he was put away there, how can you receive him here? In whose name are you receiving him here?" Well, they said, we can see it's not right, but we don't know what to do." They were helpless. Well, I thought to begin with, maybe this is just an isolated case, a case of weakness. But after I went into it, I determined that those I was with had never really seen the authority and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the assembly, and that when a decision was made in that name by his authority, it was binding. And when I questioned the leaders further, they said, "When that man that's been put away here goes over to this other assembly, they can do with him what they want to. In other words, judge him all over again. And if they judge that he hadn't done anything, they can receive him." So he's put out here and he's received over there. And they said, "Every assembly is independent one of another." And I said to myself, I came out of a system like that, where churches were independent one of another. I haven't bettered myself at all. And when I said, I can't go on any longer, I can't break bread with you anymore, my sister said, "You're wrong in leaving us." I said, "If I'm wrong in leaving this group, I was wrong in leaving the Baptist where I left. God helped me to find the place, I believe, where the Lord has placed this day." The Lord gave help, guidance. Dear young people, if you're not sure why you are where you are, it's here in the Word of God. This is where I found it. You can find it there too.